Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week on Ash Wednesday, we started a journey through Lent with Jesus the Messiah, using music from Handel's oratorio, also called Messiah, to aid our reflections. As I mentioned then, Lent is most often understood by Christians as a season of preparation, a time to prepare ourselves for the sad but glorious events of Holy Week. The first movement we heard from Messiah gave us an appropriate place to start our Lenten journey with the call, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." That call described in a nutshell a need present in all humans, the presence of our Creator in our lives. It also revealed a barrier to that presence, a barrier summarized by the unpopular word sin. As we explored the prophecies from Isaiah and Malachi, we uncovered the first step in meeting our need, to repent, to recognize the barriers we put up to keep God at a distance, and to ask Him to come and clear those barriers away, to ask in effect to prepare His own way in our lives, to come to us and to fulfill our need for His presence. So this week and next week, we'll look at how God has responded to that need by sending His Messiah, His anointed representative, Jesus Christ. If you look at the libretto of Messiah, and I've provided a link to one in the introduction of your booklets, you might be surprised that Handel only dedicates two movements to the Messiah's actual birth. It seems that Handel is more interested in describing who the Messiah is and what he comes to do, rather than the specific events of his entry into our world. In other words, Handel appears more interested in describing Jesus' nature and his work, rather than recounting the Christmas narrative in detail. So, following Handel's lead, I've decided to focus on these two topics for the next 2 weeks. I'll be looking more at the Messiah's nature this week and then more about his work next week. If you pick up your booklets for today on page 4, you'll see that Handel describes who the Messiah is using 4 excerpts from Isaiah. The first one, which we just heard set to music, is a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7, describing the birth of a son to a virgin. A son who would be named Emmanuel, which in Hebrew means God with us. Thanks to Matthew's gospel, we know that that prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus, who of course was born to the Virgin Mary. Next, Handel tells us in the words of Isaiah 40 and 60 that the birth of the Messiah is good news for the people of Jerusalem and Judah. It is as if the light of the glory of God has come on them. And finally, Handel quotes Isaiah chapter 9, describing the nature of this child. He is a gift from God to God's people, a gift who will rule over them. But he won't rule as a dictator. Rather, he'll rule as one who brings his people peace and comfort. We've already heard the first two readings set to music, and we'll get to hear the other two later in this devotion. But for now, I want to explore what all of this means for us today. The message I took away from Handel's selection was the name given to the child to be born. Matthew chapter 1, we read, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Because of Jesus, as we travel through Lent 2023, and indeed through life, we can be assured of God's presence with us. And he's not just present in any old way, but he's with us as our champion. He's with us as someone who wants the best for us, who wants us to succeed, and who is there alongside us, cheering us on every step of the way. In Jesus, God is not only with us, but he is for us. Now that's something that might be obvious to some of you, but for others it might be a bit of a revelation. When we're wrestling with challenges in life, and especially with temptation and testing as we heard on Sunday, it can be easy to forget that God actually loves us. We can focus so much on what God asks of us, and which we so often fail to do, that we forget why he asks those things of us. The commands God gives us as Christians are not a test, which he uses to filter out those who are worthy and those who are not. Rather, God gives us his commands because they are necessary for us to live with him forever. He doesn't just command us not to sin because he's a killjoy, but because sin actually kills. God needs, using one of the images we heard last week, to purify us, just as a master jeweler refines gold or silver before it can be made into a precious artifact. God needs to purify us before we can safely enter into his holy, sinless presence. And because God knows that we could never purify ourselves, he decided to do it for us. Because we are incapable of ever coming to him in our own strength, he came and continues to come to us in Jesus. Jesus coming at the first Christmas and his continual coming to us in his word and the sacraments does everything for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. Jesus' light shows us the way to God, and he journeys with us on the way, providing us with his wise counsel. And because of his death on the cross, Jesus has brought us peace with God. We can be assured that when we finally arrive at our destination and see God in our eternal home, that we will see him as a loving father and not an angry judge. But just because God comes to us doesn't mean that our relationship is only a one-way street. As much as it is always God who makes the first move and indeed who does the bulk of the work in our relationship, he still invites and welcomes our participation. Jesus has shown that God is not just a benevolent dictator who does everything for our good whether we like it or not, but he shows that he is a loving father who wants his children to share with him their cares, their hopes and their fears. A good example of this is when Jesus gave his disciples the Lord's Prayer. He gave us permission to call on God as our Father and to ask him for good things as his beloved children. Concretely, in our immediate context, then, this means that as we seek to discern where God is calling Pilgrim to go in ministry in the years to come, there is also room for your spirit-inspired longings of the heart. You are invited to not only pray for God to guide us according to his will, but he wants to know where you would like to see him take both Pilgrim and the McGill community around us. Now, while of course God knows best and he'll not give you what would harm you, he nevertheless listens to you to shape his policies. Your partnership in the gospel is a genuine partnership. It's not a token one. And God wants to use your unique skills and personalities to work for the good of all. These same principles apply to your personal lives, whether it has to do with the future of studies or work, of your home life or your other relationships in the wider community. God promises to accompany you. He guides you and he works in your life to bless you and to bless others through you. He brings about the fulfillment of the line from Isaiah 60, which you will hear in a moment. Not just generically, but specifically in your lives as well. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In Jesus, God is not only with you, but he is for you. And because of this, you can go forward in Lent and in life with confidence, knowing that you have with you a wonderful Counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace as your companion. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.